Well, I want to repeat what Helen Keller said that I put into the bulletin, the worship folder. My darkness has been filled with the light of intelligence, and behold, the outer daylit world was stumbling and groping in social blindness. You know, the ability to see is a marvelous gift. It's a marvelous gift. It enables us to navigate where we're going, to recognize objects at a distance, and to appreciate the beauty, the form, and design that are in nature and in art. We could talk all day about how eyesight helps us live in this world, but its many blessings only highlight the hardships that result from its loss, as some of the people in this congregation know. Blindness is a very difficult challenge, and it's a tragedy for humans. But what Helen Keller observed, what she said in this little quote, is about another kind of blindness that is even more tragic. People with clear eyesight that are morally blind or spiritually blind. Now, I don't think Christians are as morally blind, but many times we also have some spiritual blind spots, some spiritual blindness. Now, Jesus came healing the sick and preaching the kingdom of God. Physical blindness is one of the things that he heals often. A lot of times he healed people of their physical blindness. But he was not always able to open the eyes spiritually of different people, especially some of the Pharisees. Moral blindness is deeper. Spiritual blindness is harder to cure. And really, it's more debilitating than physical blindness. And this passage, I made this up a little slow. I don't know if I even want it. That noise is better. Spiritual blindness is something that God wants to heal. Perhaps, and I think so, more than physical blindness. He wants to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart. And the deeper our blindness, the more we need Christ's healing touch. As we're going to see in this passage I'm going to read, this is a story about physical blindness. It's a story of Jesus healing physical blindness. But I want to illustrate how he heals spiritual blindness from things that are in this story. This is Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 26. And if you would like to stand during the reading of the Lord's Word, we didn't get a chance to do this, and you may be tired of sitting, you may do so, or you may remain seated. Mark 8, 22 through 25. They came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. You may be seated. This man's eyes were opened physically, but I want to show you how this process of healing illustrates the opening of our eyes spiritually, how that we need to let Jesus open the eyes of our spiritual understanding. Freedom from blindness is a personal need, and so is our spiritual needs, the same thing. They're personal. They're very personal. They're unique, actually. Now, it says here in this passage, some people, we don't know who these people are, but some people brought him to Jesus. And immediately, Jesus removed him from the people. So that's interesting. It says he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village where they had brought him to him. Now, that's an interesting point. We don't know these people. Some people might have. But here's what they did. They did recognize a need. They recognized this man's need, and they brought him to Christ. Now, that's a plus. But Jesus recognized something else. He recognized that this man's eyes needed to be opened, but it had to be a private experience. It had to be a personal, private experience, not public. Now, we can see when something's wrong. You know, humans see that. But we can't always see how that what's wrong needs to be made correct or corrected or made straight. We come at problems with problems that we have previously solved ourselves or by previous experience, we have seen other problems, similar problems solved, and we trust in the tried and true methods that we've had in the past. So we think that when we bring something to Jesus, we know how it should be done. And that's what these people did. They begged Jesus to touch him. That's what they... This is what this man needs. He needs you to touch him. And Jesus removed him from this. He removed this man from them. Just as we have had other problems in life, sometimes with those problems, we need this one solution. Let go and let God. You know, that applies to so many things. I was just thinking about this week. How many things in our life, if we would just let go and let God, that little phrase. Well, it's enough sometimes that we bring people to Jesus in prayer. That's what he wants us to do. But he doesn't want us to tell him what to do with them. And we do that a lot. Lord, this is what this person needs. You need to do this, Lord. This is what you need to do to them. And God sometimes removes them from under our influence when we do that. You know? Because he says, don't mess up my job here. You know, I've got my plans for this guy. Yes, I hear you. You want him healed. I've got my plans for him. Now, just don't mess up the job. So he removed this man from this. You know what? What these people must learn many times, God has to show them personally. It has to be their epiphany, their experience of enlightenment. Now, their darkness, many times, or their blindness, is personal, and they need that personal touch from God, that personal enlightenment that Jesus has for them specifically. So God, on the second point here, God deals with people in a personal way. That's how he deals with people. Jesus did not just touch him like the people wanted. He did do that. But before he did that, he did something that he thought this man needed. He spit in his eye. Now that is really strange. And only after that did he lay hands on him. The people probably, well, they didn't see that probably, but that's not what they said. Would you please spit on this man's eyes, you know? Now, God has a wonderful plan for our lives. God has a wonderful plan for us. How many of you have heard that phrase? God has a wonderful plan for our lives. And that's true. That's true. But that common saying should add something else. And he has a unique pathway for us to get there. A unique pathway. Personal. He's got it personal. We cannot say, this is how I came, this is how you've got to come. Because people come to Jesus in different ways. Now, even those who love us, now, we don't know how these people may have just wanted to see a miracle. You know, they beg Jesus. Oh, Jesus, couldn't you just do a miracle for us? Come on. That might have been the situation. God didn't want to do a miracle like that. And he may have, it's just like when we bring people, even if we have loved ones we bring to God, we don't know the sequence of steps or the steps themselves that God wants to bring them through for their complete healing. It may be a process that we don't even know. How can spit heal eyes? How can spit heal eyes? Well, I don't think that was really the point. It really didn't heal the eyes. Jesus did heal this person's eyes. But Jesus was led of the Spirit to do something that I think had something specific for this man, a special meaning. Or a special message, perhaps, for this fellow. Now, perhaps, and this is just, we don't know, so it's just a lot of perhaps, a lot of supposition. Perhaps this man had experienced a lot of mockery, always getting in people's way, and they didn't like, uncaring people may have spit upon him. You've heard about that in the Bible, that people spit on somebody. It's a common thing in a lot of societies that when you spit on someone, that's a mockery or that's a rebuke to them. And this may have been Jesus making a holy use of saliva to bring about healing. And maybe it was to bring about a deeper healing. Here he was being spit upon again, but through that spitting he was being healed. And that was an interesting way to look at it, perhaps. We don't know that. But this may have undid some of the resentment that he had during his life. But This man also, like many people who are debilitated, might have been begging for alms during his life as a blind person. He may have been a beggar. And he was probably looking for the next offering or the next handout. He was looking to money to sustain his life. And maybe Jesus, since saliva is the most physical thing that can come out of the mouth, or the most natural physical thing that can come out of the mouth, maybe Jesus was using that to remind this man of something. Man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Maybe he was doing it. We do not know that. Only we know that Jesus did it for a specific purpose, and it had meaning for that man. God's way with us in opening our eyes is also interactive. God works with us. He talks with us. After the first touch, Jesus asked him the question. He said, Jesus asked, do you see anything? God often asks us questions, not because he needs to know, but because we do. We need to know. When Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden, God asked them three questions. He said, where are you? And who told you that you were naked? And have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Three questions that he knew the answers to already, but he asked them because he wanted them to think over their actions and to see the truth for themselves. God asks us questions never because he needs to know the answer, but he does need our response. He needs us to respond to him, and that forms a relationship as well. God deals with us as individuals. And he uses our feedback, actually, and he makes his next move based upon our responses to him. And that's why he asks us questions. And that's why when you are reading Scripture and a question that's being asked in Scripture, you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart with that question. Then you know that God doesn't need to know the answer, but he does need us to respond so that the relationship is firmed up and he can make his next move based on our free will. Well, in this case, the man's incomplete healing, this man's eyesight was not completely healed, and it needed a second touch of God's grace. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eye. You know, God has no set pattern, no set pattern for opening our eyes. It's an individual thing. His work with us is as varied as we are diverse as people. And some people get this dazzling epiphany, and that does the job for them. Wow, bang, there, they whammo, they got it, they know. All of a sudden, it's a sudden thing. But with most of us, like this blind man, we are transformed by a series of God's illuminations or God's gracious intervention. The deeper our blindness, the more we need Jesus' touch, and sometimes we need that second touch. The deeper need of spiritual things often have to have more of a process to open our eyes. God knows us perfectly. And because he deals with us personally, he gives special attention to our personal blind spots, things that we do not see spiritually, to help us to see things as they really are. And then finally, an enlightenment, or an epiphany as we call it, is a personal testimony. It's something we have to share. This word epiphany means manifestation, actually, and that is what the epiphany season is really celebrating that we are in now. This is the first Sunday in Epiphany, and it's about the manifestation of God's Son to the world. But the popular meaning of epiphany, and you hear this in language, and you read it in stories and so on, someone had an epiphany. The popular meaning is that of enlightenment, an illumination, an opening of our eyes to something. And it's always personal. Enlightenments are always personal. So what was this personal testimony that this man had? It says here, his eyes were opened. Now, in our case, many times, we need the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart open to spiritual truth. Things we haven't seen before, things we've been perhaps ignoring because we were so focused on something else or our own desires, that we didn't see what Jesus was trying to show us. So our eyes need to be open. And It says his sight was restored. This man was not born blind. When his eyes began to be opened, he saw trees. He saw people as trees walking. How did he know what trees looked like? Okay? He had seen. So Jesus was actually restoring his vision. And many times, the things that we knew, the lessons that we learned in Sunday school as children, and we thought that we outgrew them, those are the things that God wants us to come back to. He wants to restore those things. Many times, we have merely thought we became adults, and those simple things are too simple. They're too simplistic. Jesus wants us to be restored and be children again, his children. And it says also, he saw everything clearly. But what he saw first was the face of his healer. He saw Jesus first when his eyes were first opened. And it's usually, I say this is usually, that we are not seeing Jesus clearly in the first place is why we need our spiritual eyes open, or a whole array of different kinds of truths in Scripture. It's because we haven't been looking in the face of Christ. Because in his life, and in his word, and in his being, in his presence, when we say, what would Jesus do in this situation? As we put that WWJD, what would Jesus do? Immediately, we can see it. But we need to get close to Jesus. And when our eyes are fixed upon the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, then we see everything clearly, as the Scripture says. So the deeper our need for healing, the deeper our blindness spiritually, the more we need Jesus' healing touch. And I want to sort of sing a cappella something. It's a song that we haven't sang here, I don't believe. It's a contemporary praise song. And it goes like this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. That's a wonderful prayer for our Epiphany season, if we would pray it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. But it's not just for Epiphany. It's for all your love. Father God, we need this prayer for the rest of our journey. Lord, we have been on this planet for a while, and we have learned a lot of lessons. Lord, we're still children. We still need to learn at your feet. We need to have our eyes opened and see things we haven't seen before. Just as this man who had his eyesight restored, many of the things that you want to show us, you've already shown us. When we were younger, when we had different things happen in our lives, you got our attention. But now things are fuzzy. We see sort of things in a haze, and we need to see clearly everything. Lord, let us look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we can see clearly. In Jesus' name we pray.